ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the regular meeting of the Kane County Planning Commission. It is 6 o'clock on the note. So, Mr. Coxey, will you please establish the quorum?
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Confelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Frank Preston. Susan Martin.
Here.
Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have quorum.
Yes, we do. Explain tonight's meeting procedures, please.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. The Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the Commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the Chairman or the Commission. If you do not accept the decision of this Commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the Planning Office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the Commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting, with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
First item on the agenda for the evening is the approval of the minutes from October 12th and October 18th. Anybody have any corrections or questions about the minutes of those two meetings?
I've got one small correction, okay. Madam Chairman. Monday, October 18th, on the final votes for Coley's Dream House, on the second page, page 2, where it says a manager, same thing again, a manager is available on premise or is available 24/7 and located in Taney County, not or. Okay. It does make a big difference.
Yes.
You don't know how many times we rewrote that.
Yeah. Sound right to you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's just one word.
The intent, again, was that it could be an off-premise.
Manager, but they needed to be available. And but locally.
Yes.
Okay. Any other corrections? If not, call the question. All those in favor of approving the minutes from October 12th and October 18th, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Let's move on to Mr. Clemenson's request. To operate his real estate business out of his home.
You remember, this is a special use permit and was amended last week to be real estate and financial services.
We don't necessarily have anything.
I mean, we can bring up whatever you need.
Commissioners, it is time to discuss if you have any questions. There are no land changes.
No buildings, no land changes.
I make a motion to approve.
Okay. Motion to approve the permit as requested as a special use. Second?
I'll second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
The only question I've got is that not as requested, but as changed.
Yes, that's
with
correct.
The request last week, right?
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Clemenson, we could have called you.
No, I have to appear according to this.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you for being here. Bring lunch Wednesday.
I know.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you for stopping by.
Okay, concepts. New concepts. Kennecuck Cemetery.
We have the Kennecuck Cemetery before you. If you remember several months ago, Kennecuck had a representative before us wanting to split off a cemetery, and this has been several months ago because I believe Jim Bronner was still with us, if I'm not mistaken, at that particular time. And the plat came before you, and we decided to go ahead and handle it administratively, and we did the plat. They tried to record the plat, and the recorder said until the county agrees to take the cemetery in, because the cemetery will be quit claim deed to the county. Until I have some approval from the county, then we can't do that. So to make a long story short, I guess there's two different ways to go about this, and one requires a whole lot of signatures and a lot of time and everything like that, or they can come before planning and zoning and get an approval from that. And then the commissioners, when we're done with it, will review it again and look at that. And then there's a few things that have to be done on their behalf and everything. So this is back before you now because it does need to go through the whole process for approval. But it is a piece of land that we had already given them the right to split that off. Mr. Jeske's here representing Kanika. As you know, this cemetery already existed out there. There's several things buried out there. There's some people and some animals and some different stuff like that. This is kind of how it splits up. And then what happens is they meet the requirements that the state has for this kind of cemetery. It's a private cemetery that will be under whoever's going to be buried there. They'll be under the approval of whether they set it up as a board or whatever the case would be, who makes that determination. But it's not a cemetery that's open for just anybody to be buried in. Although they will, like I say, quit claim that land in trust to Taney County to do that. So otherwise, I'm a little fuzzy on this. Other than what I've told you, I'd be glad to answer any questions. I know Mr. Jeske's the same way. He may be a little more versed in it than I am. And we're basing most of what we've got here off of the Dick Scott Cemetery we did several years back.
So this is totally encapsulated by Kanika land?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes.
Okay. That's right. Even though our map that we just got was very close to Lake Shore Drive.
Yeah, but I don't think Lake Shore Drive actually, it doesn't actually.
Okay.
The shaded area you see there is either driveway or parking.
And this is a private cemetery that already exists.
I believe Spike is buried there, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
There's
one grave there. It's marked on the survey. I don't know who it is. I would guess it's probably.
Come on up, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's hold that.
I'll show you where it's at.
Yeah, if you'll please use the microphone so we can get you broadcasting.
I'm not sure you want me. I think it is. Let's see. I'll orient myself here.
I think it was up in that other
corner. Oh, there we go. It is right in here.
Yeah, that's
wait,
what I
was. Wait, is that right? No, sorry. Down here.
Let's go one more.
Oh, thank you. Oh. It's actually right here. This is the circle drive you see on the plat
right here.
And the grave's like right about there. And then there's some split rail fencing that goes around it. And then that's the parking area along Lakeshore Drive.
Okay.
And their offices are right down here.
And accessibility to it is inconsequential for us?
I believe there's an easement. That's what this is.
Yeah, go back to that last picture because it doesn't show.
This is the driveway going into it,
okay.
Going around, and this, I believe, is an ingress egress easement.
Right, and that's what you're going to see on the other one that Dan showed.
And that's
showed
all
you.
Very private, very Kanika property.
Right. It's a family cemetery under revised statute, section 214.090, family burying grounds and house secured.
But then, and I'm glad Commissioner Kennel is here tonight, because explain the process, Eddie, because we've had private cemeteries before, and at some point they become the responsibility of the county.
When we go through this process and you vote and you would grant permission for that, this land will be deeded to the county. The state's pretty specific about the size that it can be, mm-hmm. certain sizes, different things like that, about the access to it, about the land being deeded in perpetuity. In other words, it can't be sold again, or it's always going to be held in trust by the county and everything like that. And so normally, and like I say, we went back and pulled up the Dick Scott because in this situation, this is one of those situations where we want to make sure that the commissioners have reviewed it also. They'll have legal counsel look at it, make sure that everything's done correctly, and then they normally vote on that also, and then they have the right to record it. Then we'll record everything, make the transfers of the property. Kanika will still maintain the cemetery as far as land or mowing and everything like that. The county's not going to begin to do that.
Someday it could, though.
Well,
the only way it could is if Kanakuk itself goes away. It's all owned by Kanakuk Ministries now. Kanakuk Ministries has a corporate board that is responsible for all of the property. So that entity in and of itself is going to go on in perpetuity even after Joe's gone, and if the rest of the family is no longer interested in operating the Kanakuk business, there'll still be somebody there to maintain it. So it's not something that you're going to see any time in your lifetime.
Just your peripheral question, Jerry, that doesn't have anything to do with this project, but the number of private cemeteries in the county, any idea?
There's Gaba.
Okay, and they just...
There's a few of them that the county will, we don't maintain the road, so to speak, but we do run a grader over the road for more of a...
We don't mow or anything like that, any of them.
So the county doesn't have obligations to these cemeteries particularly?
Not really, no.
It's the private small cemeteries.
That's my understanding.
They're normally pretty small. The roads, the ones that I've run across are very, I mean, if you take a grader in there, maybe one or two passes, 15, 20 minutes, you're done, that kind of a deal. But like I say, this one is very, very small at the present time. So,
are there no health issues? I mean, that would be my question. I mean, there's no DNR or health issues, or I understand they're not buried in pine boxes anymore, but...
No, that's why the state requires they require a certain size of land. I mean, they won't, you know, if you're going to have a large cemetery like out on 76, then I'm sure they have different rules and regulations. The same rules as far as interment and everything like that would be in place. Whatever the state has would be in place, to deal with anything like that. But I mean, it's a cemetery that still falls under state regulations. As far as how it's, they're not going to have a mass grave out there where they just go in bulldoze and throw a lot of people.
Well, and I would guess those health and safety issues are probably regulated through the Health and Human Services Department and the funerals parlors.
Right.
And
okay. And then my other question would be, how many burial plots are they anticipating putting?
Right now, in the immediate future?
Well,
until someone dies,
no. I mean, I don't mean it like that, but
no,
I mean,
I know what
in eventuality, are they limiting it to 10 or 5?
It's the state statute limits it to a family cemetery, which is anyone who is basically, let's see if I can read it exactly. Family burying ground or cemetery. The family and descendants of the person making such conveyance. So it's basically the white family. I guess as long as they continue to have children. Good.
And again, the state's going to have some rules and regulations. I mean, you know, now they double-dex things, and there's a lot of different ways they do things now. But there is... I'm sure a maximum occupancy for that much land, because sometimes cemeteries do add more land on and everything. As Mr. Jeske said, I doubt we'll ever see that reached in our lifetime.
I think right now you'd probably be looking at like 10. As big as the family is right now.
But it does not behoove us to put any limitation on that.
I don't think we can, because I don't think we...
The state has already done that.
I think that's probably regulated by the state. I don't know where we would even take a guess at that, or what the capacity would be for this size of a place. So, and then we don't know the structure in there as far as rocks and all that stuff either. So, I mean, I believe most of that's handled by the state regulations.
We haven't seen anywhere where there's a planting density. As it were.
I mean, we've both done a lot of reading on this and everything. But
well, and again, just another another peripheral question. The issue of cemeteries in Katy County, are we reaching capacity, and would it be a commercial enterprise that would come before us for
that would be a different thing.
New cemetery, and where would it be, and what kind of land would be conducive to it?
Well, what we're doing is specifically under the family.
Sure, I understand
grounds.
That, but, yeah. But this is just kind of a yeah. cemetery question.
Under their kind of thing there, these are people who have been tied with their, most of the time, tied with their land for several generations or something like that, and this is where they want their final resting place. If a commercial-type cemetery came to us, you would review that just like you would any other business. They would have their own rules and regulations to follow under, and we would, of course, update on who the regulatory departments are for that. In this situation, state statute does speak about this type of cemetery, and that's where we've gone to.
Okay. Well, welcome to the process. Will you have to notify anybody?
There is a mail. It goes through the same process, just like a regular
same
Division
3.
Sure,
three
process. But are there anybody within?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, you probably should get one. there's a...
The majority of the parcels are owned by Kanakuk, so most of the notices
that's
will go to them.
That's a question, okay.
Yeah, but there is... Cougar Trails is back there.
What's in
there's
the
a
little,
yeah,
area?
There's a subdivision there.
That's outside of 600 foot.
Yeah, we're talking about 600 feet.
So then you're about...
29.
There,
okay.
Maybe.
But a lot of it's Kanakuk and Dulas, you know, things like that. Gary Smalley, the resorts that are down in there.
Okay.
Anything else?
But you anticipate...
And you're not on here.
No opposition particularly.
No.
Okay.
I don't. Well, they wouldn't be here tonight.
Right.
And because they haven't got their letters, yeah, we haven't put up our
don't
sign.
Know about it yet.
As long as we're not building, we're probably not going to have an issue.
Okay.
Especially when...
Can I ask you the question about, because I'm very familiar with this area, is the street that you're talking about the access to, is that where the post office, the little mailbox is, or is it before?
It's actually the entrance to Darnell's house. Do you know where Darnell's house is?
Okay, so it's...
Her driveway goes like this and then down. Turn on here.
Okay, so it's closer... To
it
the beginning
like
of
that.
The property
Darnell's
as opposed
house is
to...
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And like the chapel's down here somewhere.
Okay.
You can see that's because there's a back access to the chapel there.
Okay. We'll see you the second Monday in December.
All right.
Well, Mr. Coxey, do we have a permit request?
No, we don't. Let me just bring you up to speed on a couple things, if I could. No, no permit request. I'm sorry.
Old and new business.
I went and talked to the National Institute of Marriage because we wanted to make sure they were putting that road in. And I did that right after we had talked the last month, I guess. And they started on the road Friday. And if you remember, the National Institute of Marriage is being appealed.
Well, and I thought they were going to Board of Adjustment last...
They go to, it's going to be Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Yeah, because they just they got it in on the very last day. As you remember, there's a minor subdivision out there. Some of it put in by DeLillio and somebody. But there's six lots out there, five lots that are served by this Ella Lane. Ella Lane is a 50-foot easement that runs from... T30, which is Sunset Inn Road, it runs all the way back to the Schlowey house that we had here last month. And then when it gets up about 400 feet, it splits off and runs to the one lot around beside the National Institute of Marriage. So they began work on that inside the road easement. And of course, our code book states that if you are being appealed or anything like that, we can't let you work on your project. Since that's not the National Institute of Marriage project, it is the road easement for that subdivision. I had several phone calls, people wanted me to make them stop. I said, you know, this is in the road easement, this is the subdivision, even though the National Institute of Marriage is paying for this, they're not working on their project. This is the road easement, so we let that continue on. So if you hear anything about that, that's what's going on. They are working inside the road easement, and that's you know, the only place that they're working. It should be finished as early as tomorrow and everything. So, but a lot of people in that area are very upset that we're letting them do that. And there seems to be some kind of confusion about, I don't know if they think that we were going to widen Sunset Inn Road or what the deal, because they kept screaming, it's only 30 feet, it's only 30 feet, and if you want more easements, you're going to have to buy it from us. And I don't know.
It's just the Ella Lane part.
It's just, yeah, it's just Ella Lane's all that's being done. So I don't know where all the confusion's coming in or why, but I had a lot of phone calls on Friday, and a lot of people...
Were they not putting an ingress?
There was already one road, and they were going to split it.
Okay,
and everything.
Sure. And, yeah. And leave the line of trees
right.
between
and,
them. Okay.
And all, from what I can gather, the people that live inside that subdivision are all really happy with what's going on.
I'm sure they
and,
are.
And they're, yeah. they've even come and asked Mark Pyatt with National Institute of Marriage, you know, to chime in, and he is. So I don't think anybody inside the subdivision is upset. But people outside that live down Ella Lane a little ways are the ones that are upset. And I don't know if it's because they think that the county's going to come in and widen that road and they don't have the easement. I really don't know what the deal is.
I'm sure that some misinformation has been placed out there.
But if you want a good time...
It would be a good history if that happened.
I was told that there will be hundreds of people here Wednesday night. you know, welcome to our world. Come on in. it's just a little bit of confusion. And everything, but that project is being appealed, as is the...
And the nature of the appeal on the National Institute of Marriage is what? Is it simply the road, the additional traffic?
No, they're appealing, in order to appeal this kind of thing, they can only appeal based on error of law or the fact that we didn't follow our procedure. So on their application, they just put error of law. Didn't state what it was or anything like that. It's my job to explain to the Board of Adjustment why you did what you did. We'll go through everything that we looked at. We looked at traffic. We looked at all these different things, and we'll do all of that. But it's also to remind Mr. Clemenson and those people on that board that, we're not here to rehear this whole project. Did we make an error of law, or did we not follow our procedure? If we did, you overturn it. If we didn't, whether you like the project or not, you know, do we go through our procedure? We're also going to be hearing the Brass Lantern Inn, and Harry Styron will be representing that. Same situation again. Did we follow our procedure? Did we have an error of law anywhere in that? And I was talking with Mr. Edwards before, because I don't want to misspeak for you people, but you remember that was denied. I mean, we tried several different ways to approve that, but it was denied based on compatibility and density. And what we've got is a project there that had six cabins and a house on a little over 2 acres, I believe, 2 point. And in essence, we're asking to change the use of the land, and that whole thing right now is a resort nightly rental type thing, but we're asking to split this thing up and to sell off three lots. On one lot down at the bottom, we're asking to put the same density as we had for the whole project plus one more building on about just almost a third of the land that's left over, and to allow for quite a bit of changes. So as far as density is concerned, my position would be that we are looking, in the past we've allowed people that had these kind of things to come in to rebuild their cabins. When I first got here, it was the one down in Paradise, not Paradise Point, but
Poverty
Point, if you remember. And normally what we've allowed is for those people to tear down, to rebuild. Normally we've limited them to the same amount of units. And we let them change their style of ownership to whole ownership type condominiums with nightly rentals to continue their project. But we've never split anybody's land up. We've never let them split it, sell part of it off, and keep the same amount of units or anything like that. So that would be the way that I would present that to them, that we are increasing density. Also, that since this thing was built, the neighborhood has grown up around that. They grew up there with it being a fishing resort, and we're looking to change that into something quite a bit different as far as compatibility is concerned. If there's something you'd like me to make sure that I bring out, I'd be glad to do that. I think we followed our procedure correctly. I don't really think we violated anything. So, you know, if they will hold to the fact that that's what they're looking at, not hearing the project is a good project, is a bad project, that's not their decision to make. We'll try to keep them on track for that. Then, you know, everything probably should stand like it stands. It gets really funny when you get lawyers in. So. If I've misspoke, straighten me out before tomorrow night or Wednesday night.
It might certainly be a good thing to go back and review the minutes because I'm not too sure, as I just eyeballed these tonight, that the density issue is as well represented in the minutes as it might have been.
Yeah, it was... You know, it was just something that was talked about. It was brought up several times. How many units and where? And of course, there was a change in the sewer system, which is, I'm not saying that this is too dense for that, but because we're selling off property and everything, my history with us has been we would let resorts like this change, but we wouldn't let them downsize their land and upsize their units, which is basically what we're doing here.
You would let them upgrade the project, but not change it.
Right, they could tear it down and build a two-story unit and put all of them into that if they wanted to, or you know, different things like that, or make the units quite a bit larger. We never have limited. I think over there at Poverty Point, we saw a little bitty motel type rooms go away, and we saw 2 and 3 bedroom condominiums come in there, but we still limited them, I think, to 16 units. Now they put it in 2 or 3 buildings, but I think they had 16 units before. And that was one of the sticking points for the opponents to that we shouldn't be letting them increase units. So that I think we did go back and hold them to that. And then we did the same thing down on Lakeshore Drive with some of the other places down in there, Red Bay Shores and stuff like that. You know, they tore it down completely because it was just like a resort motel or something like that, and they built condominiums that were going to be whole ownership, and also one of those was timeshare and not any rentals in there. We let them continue that type of business because that's what they've done in the past.
Okay. Anything about the drafts that you presented to
I gave you, I guess I need to hand you out one more thing if I've got it with me. I gave you a new copy of the renewal. There was a few word changes there and everything like that. I've got some copies here of duplexes. The duplex that I wrote for you, did it contain the line about the 1 hour firewall in there? Do you remember? If not, I need to give you a different one.
I think it had it in already.
And we'd of course we can't go into this right now. We can't discuss or anything like that. But let me give you my most current copy if I've got that.
Talks about a common wall.
Common wall, yes, ma'am. Down near the bottom, it says a 1 hour fire rated partition wall from foundation to roof decking should be required. Do you have that? And do you have a definition of duplex that says two family residential use in which the dwelling units share a common wall, including the wall or of an attached garage or porch in which each dwelling unit has living space on the ground floor and everything? So consider that. And as you read that definition, I read a bunch of definitions before we settled on that. Some of the definitions for duplex says a single building with two dwelling units. Well, that could be an upstairs and a downstairs. It could be a lot of different things. And in that case, you could get in trouble if you're trying to have a firewall. Now, I don't know if as this is written, it's totally legal or not. It is something that one of our commissioners asked that we put it in there, and then we'll go from there. You know, if that's something that's a sticking point for you, you know, then, or if it's not, you know, however. But we discussed it just a little bit on last Friday, and if I've got to have an 8,000 square foot lot on one side and an 8,000 square foot lot on the other side to build a duplex, I could build a single family home there. If it's going to cost me as much to build each side of a duplex, it benefits me not to build one. If it's going to cost me as much to buy half a duplex as it does a single family home, it doesn't benefit me. So I don't know that we're getting anywhere like that. So we just kind of need to consider. But we do run into some other issues, and there are considerations on there for you to think about. And I am talking to a couple of people this week about some ideas. On the back there, you'll also see a thing for like a PUD. And I think for many of our developers, that would probably work better for them. But for the person that wants to build an individual duplex on just one lot, you know, it can be a tough thing. So, then we are also working on subdivision of land. I don't know if I gave you anything on that at all yet. And I don't know how far we're going to get before. What I was trying to do is make sure that we had something that the commission kind of agreed on before I gave you anything. Because my thinking was, and I don't have enough of those to give you, that if we don't, we're just kind of spinning our wheels here. Not that, you know, they don't make the recommendation, but it's something that we've worked together with, as me as your representative, with the commission, and then have brought it to you. And I'm trying to make sure that they're aware of the concerns that we might have, as far as I've heard so far this year, and last year when we were talking duplexes or things like that. So they'll please consider that before it comes to you, because that's what comes to you if you need to change it.
Is there anything else then? And I would ask you to report on the condition of Jim Strahan.
He was back to work today, if I'm not mistaken, and Mr. Pennell might be better to do that for you. He's.
I visited with him. He actually looked pretty good to me. He came in some thanks for prayers at our commission meeting, and then I saw him later in his office. He wasn't this real chipper.
And for those of you who don't know, guessing it was a small stroke. Do you know what they called it? Yeah. I was told that he had a small stroke on Veterans Day, and was in the hospital a couple of days, I guess. And,
anything else?
Did I miss about permanent extensions? Are we going to do anything with that?
We're not posted to discuss any of this stuff until the first meeting in December.
Okay.
But I wanted you to have this so you'd have some free time. So mark that up and come in ready. One of the deals we're on your permit extensions, just remember, and this becomes more critical as we go along, but when we change the use of a land, we've been of the mindset that after a period of time, if they don't do the renewals, it reverts back to what it was. Legal counsel's indicating that's probably not true. You know, unless somebody comes in and asks for another use of that land, that whatever we change it to, it should be, which normally would happen if you had district-type zoning and everything. So so be aware of that. And that being the case, there shouldn't be a need for a Division 3 permit extension. So just kind of read over and see what you think's important and what's not, and that's kind of where we go.
Okay, anything else? If not, motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
I guess.
Thank you, guys.
Adjourn.